a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. I want to welcome all of you here and all of those that are listening on the interstate. Interstate and internet. So at interstate, yeah. All right. Well, I think they're listening to us on the internet. Will everyone please check your cell phones and put them on silence so that we don't have an interruption this morning. With that, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Senators Krebs.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Monroe.
Here.
Omdahl. Excused. Otten.
Here.
Ewing. Valley.
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum this morning. With that, the minutes have been placed in your folders. The chair would entertain a motion on those minutes.
So moved.
Been moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Monroe to approve the minutes as written. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved as written. We have a couple pages here this morning. I'm going to ask them to step up to the mic here and tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you're going to do with the rest of your life once you leave the legislature here in a couple weeks.
I am Natalie Veronik. I am from Timberlake, and I plan to go to Northern for an education major.
All right.
I'm Connor McNinney, and I'm from Sturgis, and I plan on to go into solar technology.
Oh, good. Well, as long as the sun keeps shining, we should be good then for you. All right. With that, I'm going to remind people to please sign in at the podium. If you have anything that you want to pass out, to please give it to the pages so they can pass it out behind the desk here. And with that, is there anything that the committee has? If there isn't, we're going to take the bills as they appear in your agenda in that order. So that means that House Bill 1043 is up first. And will the presenters please come forward, introduce yourself, and begin. Welcome, Mr. Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation, through its Office of Air, Rail, and Transit, has been working for the last little over 2 years, actually, to review and update all of our statutes concerning the regulation of aeronautics in South Dakota. The South Dakota Aeronautics Commission members have been involved with us in this process. There are a number of reasons why this effort was necessary and undertaken by the department, a significant one of which is that over the past couple of decades, much of what the states were regulating in the field of aeronautics has become the exclusive regulatory province of the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA has preempted much of the aeronautics regulation field in many respects. A lot of that, of course, is a direct or indirect result of 9/11. For example, the licensing and operation of air schools, aviation instruction, and instructors is now exclusively regulated by the Federal Aviation Administration. Regulating the operation of aircraft and pilots as well is done exclusively by the FAA. Other examples include the investigation of air accidents, the determination of whether a structure constitutes a hazard to air navigation, establishing standards for lighting, marking, and painting of towers, the regulation of identification credentials of airport airline personnel. All of these things are now handled exclusively by the FAA. Another significant purpose in reviewing and overhauling the aeronautics statutes was to conform those statutes to today's actual business practices of the Aeronautics Commission and the department's aeronautics office, to bring those statutes in line with how the two function and interact. For example, in addition to the activities I've just described due to FAA preemption, the Aeronautics Commission no longer approves airport approach plans, so all the statutes relating to that process are being repealed in this bill. That activity is now part of the airport layout plan, which is required by the FAA in the grant process for airport improvement projects. the information previously required by the Aeronautics Commission for an airport approach plan is now included as part of the information in the airport layout plan required by the FAA. Other examples are duties actually performed by the aeronautics staff rather than by the Aeronautics Commission itself, which has no staff. Some of those duties are maintaining accounting records for aviation funds, assisting local governments in the planning, constructing, improving, maintaining, and marking and operation of airports, handling the federal and other aeronautics funds the state receives for airport operations and improvements. Others are determining the allocation of aircraft fuel tax receipts subject to the Aeronautics Commission's approval, the furnishing of forms and processing of aircraft dealers' licenses, and prescribing how certificates and licenses are to be publicly displayed upon issuance. Another reason this process of reviewing and revising the aeronautics statutes was undertaken was just to update some of the language used. For example, we've added the word powered to describe a contrivance that is defined as an aircraft. Currently, aircraft is defined in our statute as any contrivance used or designed for flight. Theoretically, I could attach two brooms to my arms, jump off a cliff, and be considered an aircraft under our definition. But of course, I'd just be an idiot. So Section 1 of the bill amends that definition to state that a contrivance designed for flight must be powered to be an aircraft. Other changes to the language were made because we no longer define landing fields and landing strips as facilities separate and distinct from airports. They are included in the broad definition of an airport, and so that change in the language used in the statutes is made throughout the bill in several places to make everything consistent. Additionally, many form and style changes were made to reflect LRC drafting rules, such as using an active voice rather than a passive voice. For example, changing must do something to shall do something or will do something, eliminating words which and such in certain places as being unnecessary verbiage. For example, eliminating shall mean, the words shall mean from definitions, such as that for governing body, which is defined as governing body shall mean the official or officials authorized to. Grammatically, you don't need the such as, or the shall mean rather. And so language in those kinds of instances is being eliminated from the statutes as well. Another purpose for this process, and overlapping to some extent the others, is implementing Governor Dugard's initiative for agencies to carefully and thoroughly review statutes and administrative rules relating to that agency's activities and operations to eliminate those that are outdated, duplicative, or otherwise unneeded, many of which, frankly, are older than I am. For example, this overhaul repeals language concerning the South Dakota Airline Authority, which no longer exists in law. It repeals certain duplicating statutes in the code chapters covering airport boards and airport authorities, respectively. Additionally, there are duplicating definitions in different chapters that are unnecessary, and those redundancies are being eliminated as well in this bill. Additionally, we're repealing language concerning procedures for investigations the statute currently provides to be made by the Aeronautics Commission in enforcing the provisions of Title 50, another language concerning the Commission's institution of legal proceedings on behalf of the state, neither of which the Aeronautics Commission does today, nor has done for decades, if it ever did. Those particular statutes were originally enacted in 1939 and have remained unchanged since that time, 75 years ago. Additionally, we're repealing statutes making an offense to operate an aircraft without the required FAA-issued registration. Again, that's a federal violation and a preemption issue as well. With that overview, Mr. Chairman, that will conclude my testimony, and I'd be happy to stand by for any questions.
Okay. Further proponents of House Bill 1043. Welcome to the committee. I don't think we've seen you here this year, Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I hate to start my testimony by disputing that which the chairman stated as fact, but I was here on his own bill.
Yes, he was. I'm texting. Yes, it was. Now I remember very well.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Drew Duncan. I'm an attorney from Sioux Falls and the registered lobbyist for Verizon. We are here today supporting House Bill 1043. We had some issues, some concerns with sections 59 through 66 of the bill with regards to the redundancy of some of the issues that Mr. Nevin did a very good and thorough job of discussing, most specifically with regards to lighting and painting and some other regulatory authority over towers over 200 feet in height. The Department of Transportation was good enough to accommodate those concerns and work with us to find some language that made clients like mine happy and to take away some of the redundancy that was in the code between both of the state and the federal issues. And we'd ask with that, your Mr. Chairman, we would ask for your support of 1043.
Thank you. I think the reason that I didn't notice that was I was sitting on the other side of the table at that time because I was in the audience. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Van Camp. I'm a registered lobbyist for AT&T and a lawyer here in Pierre. And I witnessed Mr. Duncan's testimony prior to this date in front of this committee. So I would echo the words of Mr. Duncan, and on behalf of AT&T, I'd like to say that we wholeheartedly support the bill and appreciate the efforts of the department to work with industry, and there are more people that were involved in those discussions other than just telecommunication providers. But the recognition that when you have overlapping regulatory requirements in the process of siting a tower, that sometimes if you have approval from a federal agency and the state doesn't have the ability to deny you the permit, once you obtain that permit, you shouldn't have to come here and ask for something that is yours by right. And so to clean up that statute and to work with the department was appreciated by my client. And I think it makes going forward for our industry and the deployment of broadband and cellular technology in South Dakota even easier and less of a regulatory hurdle. So we support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents of House Bill 1043. Further proponents of House Bill 1043. Last call for proponents of House Bill 1043. We'll move to opponents. Opponents of House Bill 1043. Any opponents of House Bill 1043? Last call for opponents of House Bill 1043. Seeing none, we'll move to questions by the committee. Any questions by the committee? Mr. Nevin, you're not going to get away. Please come forward. Two questions. One, we have a fiscal report, and I believe it said there was no it was pretty hard to determine what the that there was going to be any, and I think the only problem was, if I remember right, we moved the alcohol that you could have in your bloodstream from 0.08 to 0.04. Maybe just explain to the committee how often that that you see a plane wavering in the eye and so you go up and pull them over. Maybe talk to us about that a little bit.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize for neglecting to include some comments on that in my original testimony. There are a couple of statutes that are involved in this process, one concerning the reckless or careless operation of aircraft, a second concerning the flying or operating an aircraft while under the influence of alcohol or drugs, as you've just alluded to, Mr. Chairman. We changed the language in those two a little bit to conform again to FAA requirements now. I did ask that question, and no one was able to come up with a single instance where an operator of an aircraft has been prosecuted in South Dakota for either of those offenses.
My second question has to do with landing strips, and you're including them as airports. And is that any – because there's farmers out here. In fact, I've taken off from the – front driveway, on a tail dragger and went out and looked at crops. So explain to me how these rules may affect that that farmer with his, you know, plane in the hangar there that he pulls out onto this long driveway and uses as his landing strip.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that those wouldn't be affected at all, that there's no substantive change to those types of facilities. They're, however, broadly included under the definition of airport, but there's no substantive change or regulatory burden, if you will, placed on those that is any different than before.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, do I have to report anything, or am I required, if I have a place that I keep mowed and leveled off to land my airplane, do I have to report that or keep track of it, or are you aware of anything like that?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not aware of anything.
Okay, if you could get back to me, because sometimes you'll see even on a road map, you know, you see airports and then you'll see it looks like a landing strip there at some point. So,
yes, I certainly will.
Okay, thank you. Further questions by the committee? Seeing none, we'll close to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Move do pass.
Been moved do pass by Senator Otten. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Krebs. Comments on that motion, Mr. Who was it? Oh, I thought you had nodded. You were nodded for a second. Is that what you were doing? Okay. Sorry about that. It's the motion has been made by Senator Lucas. Comments on that motion, Mr. Lucas?
I think the bill is presented quite well, and I really don't have anything to add.
Okay.
It's a matter of public safety.
All right. Any further comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Monroe. My question to have better language in bills that I've seen this year. In line 9 and 10 of Section 1, it said aircraft is any powered contrivance used for on and on, or flight in the air. Does this mean the little balsa rubber band airplanes that you can buy for Christmas for your grandkids?
Yeah, I would suggest you probably get a license to fly that.
Oh, great. Thank you,
Most
Mr.
people
Chairman.
I wouldn't worry about, but you, Senator Monroe, I'd have a little worry about where you may be directing that aircraft. With that, seeing no further discussion, the motion on the floor is do pass on House Bill 1043. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Krebs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Omdahl? Excused. Otten?
Aye.
Ewing? Excused. Bally?
Aye.
Five ayes.
Senator Otten, got it right this time. Senator Otten, the bill has passed the committee, and Senator Otten has moved to put it on the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Lucas. Those in favor, and any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, those in favor of putting on the consent calendar say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1043 will go to the Senate floor on the consent calendar. Moving right along, next bill up is House Bill 1120. Proponents of House Bill 1120. Welcome, Senator.
Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Transportation Committee, State Senator Chuck Jones, District 8, Flandreau. I think this is the first time I've been in front of this committee, so...
It's an awesome committee, Senator.
It appears to be. I have before you House Bill 1120. It's an act to provide for alternative documentation of financial responsibility for vehicles. Now, I know that sounds technical and may not be the most sexy title, but, you know, since I've been up here for the last 7 weeks, I keep hearing these buzzwords and euphemisms of, you know, we're in the information age and cyber age and digital age. And I hear all these things in reference to technology and what it can do for our further visions and goals for education, what it can do in economic development, what technology can do with everything we're doing here, whether it be state government or local governments and all the way down. And I think what you'll find is this is not only is it simple, but it's something that's been long overdue. And it's just quite simply a bill where you can use your smartphone, which all of us have come to rely on, that we use to provide proof of insurance for your vehicle. It's something that's long overdue. And I often have found, too, that, you know, us up here as decision makers and people who go ahead and scrutinize what bills are going to pass and what aren't, we need to be cognizant of moving into the 21st century with all the technology and information that's available to us. And this is just something that will make it even more convenient. And it's just something as simple as catching up with the times. And that's to be able to use our smartphone to provide proof of insurance for our vehicles. And with that, I know there'll be other testimony, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents of House Bill 1120. Further proponents.
Good morning.
Morning, Representative.
Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Don Hager, District 10, that's Renner, and a couple of other communities. The boy, this is a really nice chair. On the Senate side, you guys have really nice, nice furniture. The you know, I come before you as one of the sponsors of this legislation, and I'm not going to belabor the point, the points that, or repeat the points that Senator Jones made. I will tell you, 24 states have adopted this sort of thing already, including Iowa and North Dakota and even Minnesota. Don't let that be a cause a check in whether or not you should approve it. But so bottom line is, it's becoming relatively common. The we've reached out to stakeholders before bringing this legislation. Mr. Teason with the law enforcement, with the sheriffs, had testified in support of it on the House side, and we had a number of different representatives of the insurance industry as well. And so there's some fairly broad support for the legislation. Hope you will support it as well. And I'll stand down for further questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents of House Bill 1120. Welcome.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Is it now?
Why don't you start off?
I worked so hard already. Sorry. Craig Mattson, registered lobbyist for State Farm Insurance. Anyway, we rise in support of this bill, but I want to explain in practice how it may work and use myself as an example. I have a wife and three sons, all of whom are drivers. And so we have five cars, all of which are insured with State Farm, I might add. But anyway, so, you know, as you can imagine, we have drivers going different directions, and we get our insurance cards, and it's my job to make sure that the right insurance card gets with the right driver and gets in the right car. And I'm not always sure that that happens like it should, and so I always have a concern that, hey, if they get pulled over and they're asked for proof of insurance, are they going to have that card, or are we going to get a ticket, and then we're going to have to involve going down and, you know, proving the insurance and all that type of thing. But all of the aforementioned folks in my house do have a smartphone, which I'm paying for also, and that's why I look so tired all the time. But if I could load on their iPhones the proof of insurance, I would know that they would have it. I know that they would know where it was because their whole life surrounds that phone. If you have any, you know, young adults, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So just as a matter of practice, it's the way of the world. But I do think it would also ease some of the burden on proof of insurance and things like that. And so I think this is a great bill, and I hope you can support it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, welcome members again. Of the committee, who's counting, but it's my third time now in front of you. My name is Drew Duncan. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Insurance Alliance, which is a group of property and casualty insurers doing business here in South Dakota. and Allstate Insurance. And rather than tell you about looking tired or how I have three kids with smartphones, I'll just tell you this is a great piece of legislation, and we would hope that you would support it.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Doug Abraham. I'm an attorney from Peer and a registered lobbyist for the Property Casualty Insurers Association of America. We're a trade group of about 70% of all property and casualty insurance policies represented through our companies throughout the country. We also support this legislation. We think it takes South Dakota in the right direction. This is certainly the direction most states are headed nationally, along with another piece of legislation that came through this year, 1156, which provides for the electronic transmission of documents in relation to insurance. We think it's the right step. It's permissive. It just gives you another option from a time standpoint, and also can accelerate your ability to have that proof of insurance in place. We'd encourage your support. Thank you.
Doug, and I didn't catch it right off the bat. Who do you represent?
The Property Casualty Insurers Association of America.
Okay. Further proponents?
I'm back again, Mr. Chairman. My apologies, Don Hager from District 10. I've asked to have distributed an amendment. I neglected to have that distributed and offered earlier when I was here. Basically, the amendment...
Is that 1120FA?
It is.
Okay.
Would you like to...
No, just explain it. Okay. So you are the... Let me look here. You are the... Here's the way I treat this. If you are the presenter of the bill and you have an amendment that you want to change it and want us to consider it in that manner, that's what we will do. We have the option to change it again, but we want you to speak to it as you would want it presented to the committee. So
thank you. I appreciate
that.
We will,
and the committee is generally, will do that. So if you'll speak to it and what your amendment does and why you changed it, then would be fine. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, basically what happened was, after we passed the bill on the House side, we realized that the bill, as originally written, only made digital proof of insurance valid for presentation to a magistrate, as opposed to a law enforcement officer. And the concept here behind this bill is for you to be able to, if you're pulled over and asked for proof of insurance by a law enforcement officer of some sort, you can present that evidence of insurance right then and there, which saves the law enforcement individual time, prevents a court appearance. And that's the whole concept here. So this, in working with the Division of Insurance, we came up with this amendment it's a technical amendment basically to correct the original intent of the bill.
Thank you. Further proponents of House Bill 1120. Further proponents. Further proponents of House Bill 1120. Last call for proponents of House Bill 1120. We will move to opponents, House Bill 1120. Any opponents of House Bill 1120? Any opponents? Last call for opponents of House Bill 1120. Seeing none, we will move to questions by the committee. Senator Monroe.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hagar. Does this mean that you're talking about smartphones already? You can just flip it up in your smartphone, right?
And the bill itself.
You don't need to have a piece of paper. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, some of the easiest answers I've ever given.
All right. Further questions by the way. Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, say you don't have your cell phone that you're driving, or worse yet, you're in an accident and you lose your cell phone as a result of that. Can you just access a website, from the patrolman's squad car to show that you electronically have the insurance?
Well, you certainly could, because okay. Basically the idea, Mr. Chairman, the idea here is to, with any sort of insurance account, you do have access to a website, and so you can produce in that fashion. Of course, this does not prevent you from keeping, if you're a guy that likes paper, you can sure keep your paper in the glove box as well, too. Thank you.
Mr. Hager, while you're still there, I probably just because I was looking to see what the underlying portion of and the underlying portion written on this amendment is the same. It's the paragraph that's after that that is the addition. I'm trying to ascertain here. Is the whole amendment?
It's in a different section.
That's what I'm reading it now. This is 32.35.119, and this one is 32.35.116.
Correct.
Okay, now I got it. Thank you. Further questions by the committee? Senator Otten.
Not for sure who this is for, but this is relating to extra information floating around there. How secure is this?
That's my question.
That somebody could get a hold of it and nefariously get into to something else.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Senator, that's a good question. And I can tell you that insurance companies, with respect to websites and their accounts with their customers, place a high value on security comparable to that of a lending institution. And so I would argue it's very secure.
Thank you.
That's fine. I got one for Mr. Duncan so he can keep adding notches to his number of times before the committee here. My question is, do we see any difference in trying to say I've got insurance and I don't have insurance, but I just kind of doctor one up and put it on my cell phone? Is there any difference in that than the little card I get and I could doctor that also? Someone doesn't have insurance, but just portraying that they do have.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Drew Duncan, I think the short answer to your question is no. In a typical situation, when you get stopped by law enforcement or when you get asked for proof of your insurance, you're providing a card, or in this case, now a card that comes from your insurance company that shows valid insurance from date A to date B, usually in a 6-month increment. I suppose you could spend the time to doctor that like you could a driver's license or any other financial document, something you get from a bank. I think that the bottom line is, should that ever become an issue and should you ever have to appear in court, you probably have to have some verification that the documents you're providing, either from a computer perspective on your phone or whatever, or a document presented that way, or the document that you're providing to the court somehow has some proper verification and meets proper rules of evidence. That would be where the rubber hits the road, in my opinion, on that. So short answer to your question is probably no. I don't think that, you know, you could probably still allow people to doctor up those things. But the other issue to think about, I think when you think about that from a digital perspective, is, you know, you could probably doctor that up. But these are going to be documents you receive directly from your insurance company, and they're going to be on a secure site. You're going to probably have a password to get in to get it. So, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, if they wanted you to spend some time going through the process of entering in your password, bringing up, you know, I'll use Allstate as an example, bringing up Allstate, entering in your password, or if it's an app, entering in a password and then providing that document, I suppose they could do that. But no, fraudulent documents, I think, are going to be an issue digitally, paper-wise, or elsewhere.
Thank you.
And that's four.
Further questions by the committee? Seeing none, we'll close to public testimony and open it up to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair?
You're going to want to move your...
I would move Amendment 1120 FA.
Second.
Amendment 1120 FA has been moved by Senator Lucas and is seconded by Senator Krebs. Discussion on that amendment. There's no discussion on that. Those in favor say aye. Those aye. Opposed say nay. Okay. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Aye. Sorry. Walk too fast there. House bill or House amendment 1120 FA has been approved. Now we'll move on to further discussion by the committee on House Bill 1120 as amended. Senator Krebs.
Move to pass.
Senator Krebs has moved to pass, seconded by Senator Monroe for a do pass motion on House Bill 1120 as amended. Comments on that motion? Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate the sponsor bringing this forth. You know, we're always presented with new ideas, and of course, the technology, as our Senator Jones had shared with us, was going to continue to be a challenge with language and statute and updating and going along with that. And I just think that as far as security, we know that that's going to be the fall in the hands and the responsibility of the companies that are providing this information. I think at this point, then, really it lies into also the education to the consumers to let them know that this is available. So, Mr. Chair, I recommend a do pass vote on this.
Further comments on that motion? Seeing none, the question before the committee is do pass motion on House Bill 1120 as amended. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Krebs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Amdahl? Excused. Otten?
Aye.
Ewing? Excused. Valley?
Aye.
Five ayes.
House Bill 1120, as amended, has been approved by the committee. Senator Monroe.
I would move the committee place the House Bill 1120 in the consent calendar.
Been moved. Is there a second?
Oh, wait. It was amended. It was amended.
You can still do it as amended. You can still do that.
Motion stands, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there a second? Is there a second? No second? The motion to put 1120 as amended on the consent calendar fails for lack of second. We'll now move to House Bill 1159. Proponents of House Bill 1159. Welcome, Senator. Introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Bill Van Gerpen, State Senator, District 19. I bring before you today House Bill 1159. The South Dakota law provides in 32-12-17 that a veteran may add an emblem to the driver's license that they possess to indicate that they are an honorably discharged veteran. And what they need to do currently is to appear with a DD Form 214. A DD Form 214 is about a 8.5 by 11 page sheet that identifies the entire career of that individual. And that's what's required currently. What we're trying to do is make it a little easier for our veterans to have the emblem engraved on their driver's license by adding, in replacement of the 214, they could provide their retirement ID card. And that's something they usually carry with them. I can give you an example. As a matter of fact, it looks like this. And it's something you carry in your billfold adjacent to your driver's license. And they're about the same size, so it works out really well. What has happened in the past is that there have been some veterans who have approached to have the veteran emblem plate on their driver on their driver's license, but they didn't have the 214. The 214 is not in my billfold. The 214 that I have is probably locked up in a safe someplace in a safety deposit box. And so it's happened that individuals, veterans, have had to go back, find that 214, come present it to the officer, and then get the veteran identification added to their DD form, added to their driver's license. What we're suggesting in this legislation is that the DD form 2A or 2 DD form 2 be authorized to have the same authority as the 214 for the veteran to use that as a source document to have indicated on his or her driver's license that they are an honorably discharged veteran. I can't imagine, and I think it's impossible, to obtain a DD Form 2 or 2A without having the DD Form 214 as a document from which they find as the source document for the DD Form 2 or 2A. And so what this legislation will do will make it easier for our veterans to add the insignia on their driver's license that they are a honorably discharged veteran. That, Mr. Chairman, is the essence of this legislation, and I stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments or further proponents of House Bill 1159? Welcome, Representative.
Thank you. Good morning. Representative Kathy Tyler from District 4, and just a me too on Senator Van Gerpen's. And this bill came to me from a constituent who had this exact thing happen to him. He went to renew his driver's license and found out that he needed this big form and it didn't work out. So that's the history of the bill. And other than that, I just appreciate your passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents of House Bill 1159. Further proponents of House Bill 1159. Last call for proponents. Any opponents of 1159? Any opponents of House Bill 1159? Last call for opponents of House Bill 1159. We'll open up to questions by the committee. Senator Otten.
Well, since my mind is tracking this way, I guess Senator Van Gerpen, with the forms being locked away, I can see that that is secure. How secure are those cards? I saw that as you lifted it. I saw the backside, and it looked like that there was a barcode. Is that?
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
I use the reference locked away. They don't have to be locked away. Mine is, but you can. I have one at the courthouse, at the veteran service officer. Most folks, I would guess, have them in a stack of papers back home. So I have mine locked away so I don't lose it. That's the only reason. It's in a safe box. And I probably have one at home as well. So, yes, this has the barcode on it. But every veteran would have one of these that they would probably carry with them. And the advantage of this is it gives you authority to go into a BX or get onto a base. You can get met if you're retired with the DD Form 2, you are authorized to go to the healthcare facilities on a base. So they're of the same caliber, I would say, in security.
That is it.
Further questions by the committee? I want to make sure I heard you right, that there's no way you would be able to be entitled to get this card if you didn't have a DD-214. It seems like to me that the DD-214 is always the gold standard. If you don't have that, if you've misplaced that, in fact, I've just had a neighbor that had an issue with a DD-214, you know, and so he couldn't find it. You know, he's a Vietnam veteran and the whole bit, but he just couldn't find it. He's moved all his life, and so would that be true? You couldn't get this card without having the DD-214?
Mr. Chairman, legally, now I'm not saying there aren't some counterfeit products out there, but to obtain the DD form 2A, the card that I carry with me, that is issued by a personnel officer at what we would call a consolidated base personnel office, normally on an Air Force base, Army base, Air National Guard base, or Army post. So that's where they're issued. And so they have all your records there, and they would refer to the 214 to provide this with you. And usually there'll be a discharge certificate as well, which would indicate the type of discharge that you would receive. And this, as I understand the legislation, would only be given to honorably discharged veterans.
Okay. Any further questions by the committee? Seeing none, we'll close it to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action by the committee.
House Bill 1159.
Senator Lucas has moved due pass of House Bill 1159. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Krebs. Discussion on that motion. Senator Lucas.
I don't believe I have anything to add from the testimony. In any way that we can allow a person to carry a secured document and while they have their other document in a safe area, a proof of this secure document, I think, is a smart way to go about doing their business.
Further questions or comments? If none, the motion is a do-pass motion on House Bill 1159. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Krebs.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Amdahl. Excused. Otten.
Aye.
Ewing. Excused. Bally.
Aye.
Five ayes.
House Bill 1159 has received a majority vote of the committee. It will go to the floor. Any? Any further motions by the committee?
I'm Mr. Chairman. I move to put this on the consent calendar.
No.
That takes care of that idea. I left it open a long time for you, but I gave Senator Monroe too much time to think. So, with that, House Bill 1159 will move to the floor on the debate calendar. That concludes.
Hi, Mr.
Thank you. That concludes our docket for the day. I'm assuming the people that have the bills will speak to them on the floor, except for House Bill 1043, which is on consent calendar. But in case it comes off, and since you were gone last week, we'll give you an opportunity, Senator Krebs, to take that one if it happens to get pulled from the calendar. And obviously, Senator Lucas, you can take it to your caucus, and Senator Krebs, the same thing to the Republican caucus.
It would be good to pull that and ask Senator Krebs on the floor the definition of an aircraft. Explain that.
That would be a good debate, whether you can jump off a cliff and why.
I'll let you decide if you want to get on that side of her. So
just let her worry about it over the weekend.
You let me fly out on my own on that one.
Further, what would I say? Pertinent comments to come before the committee. Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion for adjournment.
Second.
Been moved by Senator Lucas, seconded by Senator Otten to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those in nay.